Our study this morning comes from John chapter 11, where we find Jesus as he was beyond the Jordan River in Perea. And as he was there, he was told that Lazarus was sick. And we know Jesus had been in the home of Lazarus and his two sisters, Mary and Martha, on several occasions, enjoying their hospitality and, of course, their company. So as we study from John chapter 11, let us learn many lessons and apply them to ourselves. And we'll begin our study in just a moment. Hello, I'm Bob Hawkins, and for the Morgan Street Church of Christ, we welcome you this morning, yes sir, to PFE. As we all know, that stands for Preparing for Eternity, and we all better be doing just that. That's the most important thing that any of us could do. Now, at this time, we want to invite everyone to join in with us here at 540 East Morgan Street, right here in Martinsville, as we study God's precious Word in our Bible classes. And then as we assemble together to worship God, we strive to do so in spirit, with a proper attitude, and also in truth, in accordance to the New Testament pattern, as we know in John 4:24. So, you would be very much welcome to join in with us, I can assure you of that. And something else to mention, we're always looking forward to setting up a Bible study with anyone that would be interested at their convenience. So let us know. And also, if you have Bible questions, your comments, positive or negative, you can send those to us. Our address again is 540 East Morgan Street, Martinsville, Indiana. 46151 is the zip code, and our office phone number, area code 765-342-6027, and our website address, www.morganstreetchurchofchrist.org. Let's get into our study. We're learning lessons from the death of Lazarus. And as we start out in John chapter 11, you can see a certain man was sick, named Lazarus, of Bethany, the town of Mary and her sister Martha. So, as we note in verse 3, therefore his sisters sent unto him, saying, Lord, behold, he whom thou lovest is sick. And as you go to verse 5, we learn, now Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus. So our first lesson is Jesus had close friends. How precious are our good close friends? Well, note Proverbs 18:24. A man that hath friends must show himself friendly. That's where it starts, does it not? And there is a friend that sticketh closer than a brother. This is what we're talking about in having close friends. Proverbs 27:9 also relates to this. Ointment and perfume rejoice the heart, so doth the sweetness of a man's friend by hearty counsel. So the point is here, we need to choose our close friends very carefully. We can be friendly to everyone, no matter who they may be. But the close friend needs to be chosen carefully, especially by young people as they're starting out in life. You see, in 2 Corinthians 6:14, be ye not unequally yoked together with unbelievers. For what fellowship hath righteousness with unrighteousness? And what communion hath light with darkness? See, there's a separation there, is there not? James 2:23, and the scripture was fulfilled which saith, Abraham believed God, and it was imputed unto him for righteousness, and he was called the friend of God. That's very important, isn't it? to be called the friend of God. What a great honor to be called a friend of God. And we learn in John chapter 15, verse 14, Jesus said, "Ye are my friends if you do whatsoever I command you." Are we doing the commandments? Are we obeying God's commandments? To be the friend of God, we must do so. But let's notice another lesson here in verse 3. To whom did Mary and Martha go in time of trouble? They went to the Lord, did they not? And we need to go to God in prayer, and we can do that as a Christian, no matter where we are, what the situation is, positive or negative. It doesn't matter. We can go to God in prayer with that privilege that's in Christ. We can address our Heavenly Father who art in heaven. Notice Psalm 46:1. God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. I've used this verse often at the graveside service. But note, we are to address God the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, Matthew 6:9, Ephesians 5:20, Colossians 3:17. So let us therefore come boldly under the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. But not only in time of need, but be thankful, of course, every day. But the scripture here is Hebrews 4:16. Now, another lesson as we go to verse 19 of John chapter 11. And many of the Jews came to Martha and Mary to comfort them concerning their brother. Well, of course, Christians need to comfort the sick and the grieving, as we're seeing here. And we should know the three works of the church are evangelism, of course, edification. We need to encourage one another, teach one another, help one another, and benevolence, the third. It's also a work of the church. And notice what Jesus said about visiting the sick and downtrodden in Matthew 25, starting with verse 34. Then shall the king say unto them on his right hand, "Come ye blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. For I was a hungered, and you gave me meat. I was thirsty, and you gave me drink. I was a stranger, and you took me in. Naked, and you clothed me. I was sick, and you visited me. I was in prison, and you came unto me." Then shall the righteous answer him, saying, "Lord, when saw we thee a hungered, and fed thee, or thirsty, and gave thee drink? When saw we thee a stranger and took thee in, or naked and clothed thee? Or when saw thee sick? When saw we thee sick or in prison and came unto thee?" And the king shall answer and say unto them, "Verily I say unto you, inasmuch as you have done it unto one of the least of these my brethren, ye have done it unto me." Then shall he say unto them on the left hand, "Depart from me, ye cursed, into everlasting fire prepared for the devil and his angels. For I was hungry, and you gave me no meat. I was thirsty, and you gave me no drink. I was a stranger, and you took me not in. Naked, and you clothed me not. Sick, and in prison, and you visited me not." And then shall they also answer him, saying, "Lord, when saw we thee a hungered, or a thirst, or a stranger, or naked, or sick, or in prison, and did not minister unto thee?" And then he shall answer them, saying, "Verily I say unto you, inasmuch as you did it not to one of the least of these, ye did it not to me." And these shall go away into everlasting punishment, but the righteous into life eternal. Now, notice especially Jesus saying, "Verily I say unto you, inasmuch as ye have done it unto one of the least of these, my brethren, ye have done it unto me." That's quite a lesson, is it not? Well, note what James, the inspired writer, James 2:14 going through 17, "What doth it profit, My brethren, though a man say he hath faith and have not works, can faith save him? If a brother or sister be naked and destitute of daily food, and one of you say unto them, depart in peace, be ye warmed and filled, notwithstanding you give them not those things which are needful to the body, what doth it profit? Even so, if it hath not works, faith, if it hath not works, is dead being alone. So we are to take advantage of our opportunities to help those in need outside the church as well as those in the church. Galatians 6:10, as we have therefore opportunity, let us do good unto all men, especially unto them who are of the household of faith. So let's learn that lesson. Christians need to comfort the sick and the grieving, as we see in our text. But let's go on now to verse 20 and go through 27 of John 11. Then Martha, as soon as she heard that Jesus was coming, she went and met him. But Mary sat still in the house. Then said Martha unto Jesus, Lord, if thou hadst been here, my brother had not died. But I know that even now, whatsoever thou wilt ask of God, God will give it thee. Jesus saith unto her, thy brother shall rise again. Martha saith unto him, I know that he shall rise again in the resurrection at the last day. Jesus said unto her, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. And whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die. Believest thou this? She saith unto him, Yea, Lord, I believe that thou art the Christ, the Son of God, which should come into the world. Well, the lesson here is trials and tribulations can make us stronger. Lazarus had been dead now 4 days and stinketh in the grave. His body was rotting. But you see, as we noted back in verse 4, blessings can come from pain and suffering. This is to the glory of God. Now, that's not to say that God caused the sickness, but that good can come from pain and suffering. In Romans chapter 8, verse 24, let's notice a verse that we should keep in our hearts. And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are called according to His purpose. So we should remember that. 2 Corinthians 1:3-4, blessed be God, even the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies, and the God of all comfort, who comforteth us in all our tribulation, that we may be able to comfort them which are in any trouble by the comfort wherewith we ourselves are comforted of God. Well, we find here in these verses great comfort, do we not? We should, and remember them. Martha's faith grew because of what? Of her suffering, as we saw there in verses 20 through 27. As James 1:3 tells us, knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience. Verse 12, blessed is the man that endureth temptation, for when he is tried, he shall receive the crown of life, which the Lord hath promised to them that love him. 1 Peter 1:7, that the trial of your faith, being much more precious than of gold, that perisheth, though it be tried with fire, might be found unto praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ. But let us go on and learn another lesson and apply it to our lives. The reaction of Jesus tells us more about our Lord. Let's pick up with verse 32 now. Then when Mary was come where Jesus was and saw him, she fell down at his feet, saying unto him, Lord, if thou hadst been here, my brother had not died. When Jesus therefore saw her weeping, and the Jews also weeping which came with her, he groaned in the spirit and was troubled, and said, Where have you laid him? And they said unto him, Lord, come and see. Jesus wept. And then said the Jews, Behold how he loved him. And some of them said, Could not this man which opened the eyes of the blind have caused that even this man should not have died? Jesus therefore again, groaning in himself, cometh to the grave. It was a cave, and a stone lay upon it. Well, you see here that the reaction of Jesus tells us more about our Lord, does it not? But let us go on. Jesus said, Take you away the stone. Martha, the sister of him that was dead, saith unto him, Lord, by this time he stinketh, for he had been dead 4 days. Jesus saith unto her, Said I not unto thee that thou, if thou wouldest believe, thou shouldst see the glory of God? Then they took away the stone from the place where the dead was laid, and Jesus lifted up his eyes and said, Father, I thank thee that thou hast heard me, and I knew that thou hearest me always, but because of the people which stand by, I said it, that they may believe that thou hast sent me. And when he had thus had spoken in that prayer to his heavenly Father, notice, he cried with a loud voice, Lazarus, come forth. And he that was dead came forth, bound hand and foot with grave clothes, and his face was bound about with a napkin. Jesus saith unto them, Loose him and let him go. Well, let's ask a question here. Does Jesus care? Of course he cares. He understands fully what sin has brought into the world, death, sorrow, pain, and loneliness. Yes, verse 33, he groaned in the spirit and was troubled. Jesus did not weep for Lazarus' death, knowing that he was going to raise him from the dead. Precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of his saints, Psalm 116:15 tells us. Remember when Jesus sobbed over Jerusalem, Luke 19:41, because of his concern for their souls. So we're learning more about our Lord and Savior as we study this chapter and apply it to our lives to appreciate how Jesus cares. You see the compassion that Jesus had for Mary and Martha. Verse 35, the shortest verse in the English language, but the shortest in the Greek actually is 1 Thessalonians 5:16, rejoice evermore. But notice, while Mary was sobbing at Jesus' feet, the Jews with her wailed. And of course this is a touching scene, is it not? Well, there are different Greek words used for wept, meaning tears. You know, when you're touched with something and a tear comes down our cheeks. Well, there's another term that's cried and sobbed, where you're in agony. For example, in the Garden of Gethsemane, when Jesus took with him Peter and the two sons of Zebedee, John and James, and began to be sorrowful and very heavy. And then saith he unto them, My soul is exceeding sorrowful, even unto death. That's the agony we're talking about here. Tarry ye here and watch with me. And he went a little further and fell on his face and prayed, saying, O my Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not as I will, but as thou will. In Luke's account, Luke 22:44, and being in agony, he prayed more earnestly, and his sweat was, as it were, great drops of blood falling down to the ground. Do we appreciate what our Lord was enduring before he went to the cross? Yes, this was his prayer. But it was not possible that the cup be taken away, and Jesus was willing to submit to death on the cross for our sins, bearing all the sins of the world. And you can understand, and I should be able to understand what an agony that would be. So again, in verse 38, we see Jesus was troubled. Yes, he groaned. He groaned in himself, coming to the grave. Notice Hebrews 5:7, who in the days of his flesh, when he had offered up prayers and supplication with strong crying and tears unto him that was able to save him from death, and was heard in that he feared. So we need to realize that's speaking of our Lord, isn't it? And so, should we not also be troubled by what sin has done to mankind and how Satan desires to separate us all from God? Yes. Jesus was troubled in the spirit at the betrayal of Judas, chapter 13, verse 21. So we can see the different terms here used in John 11. But here's another lesson. What were the results of Jesus raising Lazarus from the grave? Look with me now at verses 45 and 46 here in John 11. And he that was dead came forth, bound hand and foot with grave clothes, and his face was bound about with a napkin. Jesus saith unto them, loose him and let him go. And then many of the Jews, which came to Mary and had seen the things which Jesus did, believed on him. Wonderful. But then verse 46, but some of them went their ways to the Pharisees and told them what things Jesus had done. So you have two reactions here. Those who rejected Jesus became upset and wanted to take his life, even to put him to death. Look at verse 53. Then from that day forth they took counsel together to put him to death. Well, as you go into chapter 12, notice 10 and 11. But the chief priests consulted that they might put Lazarus also to death, because that by reason of him many of the Jews went away and believed on Jesus. They wanted to do away with the evidence. One sin leads to another, does it not? How many today are afraid to lose their place? Notice verse 48 back in chapter 11. If we let him thus alone, all men will believe on him, and the Romans shall come and take away both our place and nation. That's their attitude of the raising of Lazarus from the tomb after 4 days of being dead. Now, again, we need to take this lesson and apply it to our lives. How do we look at doing the Lord's will? Are we afraid to lose our place in society, that we're going to lose some friends or even relatives? Well, who should come first? Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Matthew 6:33. How many today want to get rid of the evidence? Here's another lesson. As some deny the evidence of a global flood, even though there's tons of evidence to show that the water covered the earth, how do you explain marine fossils up in the mountains? Well, some are, of course, wanting to get rid of the evidence that the Bible's the inspired Word of God. They mock it. Say, that doesn't really mean much. Well, you have unity in all the books. You have evidence in prophecy, over 300 prophecies of Christ. How did Zechariah know that Judas would take 30 pieces of silver as he betrayed Christ? And this money would go back into the temple and then go to the potter. We could go on and on. He knew it because God inspired him in what he wrote. And how many today are even attacking the fact that Jesus Christ lived among men in the first century as he fulfilled all those prophecies of the Old Testament, except the second coming, of course. He confirmed that he was the Messiah with miracles. He raised Lazarus from the dead. And the tomb was empty on the third day when the Lord arose from the grave himself as the Heavenly Father brought him up from the grave. Up from the grave he arose. So, as we come to a close of our study of John chapter 11, and we went into 12 there a little bit, but let's ask ourselves, how do we look at death? And as it is appointed unto men once to die, but after this the judgment. Hebrews 9:27. Philippians 1:21, this is the attitude that Paul had. For to me to live is Christ, and to die is gain. We had a lesson on that, did we not? Well, do we have that attitude? Jesus will come again, and he will raise all the dead. John 5:28-29, marvel not at this, for the hour is coming, in the which all that are in the grave shall hear his voice, and shall come forth. They that have done good unto the resurrection of life, and they that have done evil unto the resurrection of damnation. So which is it? It depends on how we live. God votes for us, Satan votes against us, and we cast the deciding vote by how we live in this life. Are we preparing for eternity? Are we ready for the resurrection of life? If not, we need to make preparation. When? Right now. We stand ready to assist anyone in obeying the gospel. Unless we obey the gospel of Christ and remain faithful, it will be the resurrection of damnation for us. So we need to hear the truth, learn what God would have us to do. Our faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God, Romans 10:17. Now we're ready to believe that Jesus is the Christ, the only begotten Son of God, John 8:24. And we're motivated to repent. That's the next step, to turn our life away from sin and go in the right direction, following the doctrine of Christ. We're going to repent of our sins, making a change of wills, Acts 17:30. Now we're ready to make the good confession unto salvation, as the Ethiopian did in Acts 8:37, stating, I believe that Jesus Christ is the only begotten Son of God. Now, we're ready to contact the blood of Christ, to go into a watery grave. This is baptism, fully immersed, contacting the precious blood of Christ that washes away our sins. As Ananias told Paul, why tarest thou? Arise and be baptized and wash away thy sins, calling upon the name of the Lord. Acts 22:16. Then we come up out of the water to walk in newness of life, and the Lord adds us to his body, the true church, where we need to remain faithful even unto death. We'll have the victory. Thank you so much for listening today.